You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
At the mic, they've been, oh, what a ride. John and Gordy spinning stories side by side. Coffee cups steaming, early mornings alive. Radio waves where the spirits thrive. Cool guests rolling in like a breeze through the door. Stories stacking up, who could ask for more?
Right.
Too many more shows to laughter and cheers.
Cheers.
Civic Media magic to golden years. With coffee in hand and tales to unfold. John and Gordy's legend is radio gold.
Oh, it's a legend, all right.
Had to add that, didn't you?
Gold, gold, boy. It's all about the gold.
Well, now we have to disclaim our involvement in any of this.
Thank you, Dom,
yeah,
for putting
you
that
for
together.
That, that tribute.
It's really
for 2 year,
no problem.
2 year anniversary. there was a story Savannah Tomei Olson had, and I just want to make a comment about it. It's a Dropbox story. You know, this is one of the dumbest stories ever, and one of the dumbest issues ever. Seriously, your head just wants to explode when you think of how dumb it is to ban Dropboxes.
What are you talking about?
Banning Dropboxes. What,
banning them?
So a Republican has put legislation together to ban Dropboxes. And you might have heard in the story, the person who wrote this said she wants to do it simply because this is what President Trump wants.
Really?
Okay. That's it, huh? There's 78 Dropboxes. They're more secure than anything that we have tied in with the election, right? Then Savannah had a story about people mailing in their ballots, and their ballots end up in South Dakota or something like that.
Okay.
They're rerouted here, there, and everywhere. The only problem is it's less secure via the delivery system. They're safe in the mail, but their delivery is suspect because they might just go on a long journey. I mean, all our mail here in Madison goes through Milwaukee.
Right.
You can't just mail a letter and it goes across town. It has to go to Milwaukee first.
And then gets sorted and then comes back.
Yeah. And that's because the Republicans shut down a whole bunch of warehouses across the country to save the post office money, saving the money that they could have had not the Republicans forced the post office to pay their pensions ahead of time by 75 years. So the post office was going broke paying this pension early. For 75 years out, it was an obvious attempt to bankrupt the post, although you can't bankrupt it. It's a government facility. we put the money in if they need it, but
right.
They are self-sustaining. But they weren't, and they're now not self-sustaining because they have this huge debt because they had to pay all these pensions ahead of time. I think that was discontinued under Biden. Could be wrong. But anyway, getting back to the Dropboxes, we want to see the Dropboxes, okay?
Yeah, for
voting. They're very, very secure.
Right.
This is so stupid. So stupid. Please, stop distracting us. My God.
Okay.
And you know, the thing is, just the Dropbox alone is the reason to vote for a Democratic governor the next time around. I mean, we know that the Republican candidate, whoever it's going to be, is certainly going to side with going with Trump on this and getting rid of all the Dropboxes because they don't like mail-in ballots anyway. So get rid of the Dropboxes and do away with everything. Every aspect of voting except for one. And what do they? They want same-day voting.
Yeah, of course.
They don't want any pre-voting. Nothing. Just same-day voting. Everybody goes and stands in line for thousands of hours. Can you imagine the big cities?
Oh,
my God. Seriously. Anyway, this is just a big story. Thank you, Savannah, for that one. It was pretty wild.
We got some callers waiting here. 608-879-8255. Let's go to Dick from Madison. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning. Belated happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
To last night's things, the national media, I caught a little bit of it. They're referring to three victories. I see it more like six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you won of attorney general's position, the opposition out in California, and let's see, Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Yes.
How long before this guy in the White House goes totally crazy if he hasn't already? Look for him to just lose it totally and amp up the craziness after last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, the funny thing is...
Big wins in Virginia and New Jersey.
You might remember the comment from Mike Johnson, House Speaker, right?
Yeah.
Where he said, you know, after the election, the Democrats are going to realize that they're going to have to come back to the table and open up the government because they're going to lose like crazy. Well, I don't know, Mike. Can't possibly see into the future, can you? Can't see what's in front of you.
No.
All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, what do you got for us?
Good morning, Mark.
Dick was just talking about that, but briefly to touch on the whole post office thing. I know when things used to be mailed from South Range Post Office, where I grew up, things went through the South Range Post Office in rural Douglas County, and were stamped South Range Post Office. Now I think they go through Eau Claire, that rather than anything local or even Superior, for goodness sakes.
Mm.
But I was briefly channel flipping last night trying to pick up the news, and I briefly stopped on the national desk. And the guy there was just, I think he was soiling himself. He was so upset about the Democrats had won in New York. I mean, he just, you know, just the panic these guys are feeling over. The guy is a democratic socialist. He's not a Marxist. He's not a communist or that. Right. We had the sewer socialists in Milwaukee County that brought all the sorts of modern infrastructure into Milwaukee County back in the day.
Yeah.
And that... A lot of these European countries that we, you know, that have been brought up this morning actually practice some form of democratic socialism, like Norway, Sweden, Denmark. I mean, that they're not Marxist governments over there.
That's right. They brought that into this country as immigrants. Yeah, that's right.
And for goodness sakes, Thomas Paine, one of the guy who wrote Common Sense, wrote a little piece called Agrarian Justice, which actually proposed, you know, a lot of Social Security things that we have here today. He actually kind of proposed a Social Security, actually proposed a head start for people starting out in life, you know, funded by the government and funded on taxes on the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
All good points.
Yeah, they're really good points.
Mark.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Mark. We got a couple of texts here. Doug says, yes, Madison mail comes to Milwaukee. We read all of it before it's delivered to you. Well, thanks, Doug, Milwaukee.
St. Francis,
see,
thank you.
Doug knows all about our mail.
Right. He's on top of it.
And Lynn says, don't forget, Trump wants hand-counted paper ballots only.
Oh, yeah.
Right. All on one day, plus they must be announced that same day, the results of the election, plus cut spending so no extra staff can handle all of the ballots that are turned in on one day, filled out by the voters in one day. Is there any... Would they ever think that it's maybe impossible, physically impossible to do that?
To do all of that? What about the military that votes, you know, by mail from overseas?
Well, they still let that
They're
happen.
Okay with that.
Oh, that's still good with that one. Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's go to Charles, who's on the line here from Milwaukee. Good morning, Charles. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, they're gonna blow up about 15 votes within the next couple of days. He's probably super mad. You know, these weren't just wins. These were
blowouts.
Yeah. Outside of the attorney general, the younger black guy, Jones, I think his last name was, in Virginia.
No, I don't remember. Yeah.
The rest of the races were just, I mean, straight blowouts.
And
they're probably really mad because it was people of color and women.
Yeah.
So they probably really don't know what to do this morning.
Yeah. Well, and the redistricting to cancel out the Texas redistricting.
Yeah, that California vote.
Yeah, this is overwhelming. This is big. This is very big. Putting everybody back in.
Yeah. 7 million people voted in California.
Yeah.
Seven million.
There came a.
That's amazing.
They're really forcing us. They're coercing us to go out and vote. In a way.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Tammy Baldwin posted something. She said, Paula and her husband are retired public employees. This is about healthcare costs. They're retired public school employees in northern Wisconsin. They're not quite eligible for Medicare and get health insurance on the healthcare exchange. Hmm. They're going to pay nearly all of their pension income on healthcare next year if my colleagues don't act. And this is the comparison. During this year, they paid $1,600 a month. That's a lot. In 2026, they will pay $3,600. And they're on fixed incomes and the retired. So that, you know, the thing is, they may not get coverage. You know, they may skip a year, just hoping that somewhere along the way, the Democrats get back in and try to reverse all of this from happening. I have another cut here. Let's listen to cut 21. I think we have time for this. It's a rundown of a lot of the mail that she had. This is Jess Craven. She does a post, and she asked for mail, email, in regards to their new bills for the Affordable Care Act. Let's listen.
Oh, wow, you guys. So I put in my newsletter last week a call for people to email me with screenshots of their premium increases if they were on the Affordable Care Act. Well, I just checked that inbox finally, and oh my God, if Republicans don't extend these premium tax credits, I want to show you what will happen to just a few Americans who emailed. This person lives in D.C. Once the premium tax credits expire, her premiums will go from $440 a month to $1,100 per month, nearly an $8,000 increase. This person is in Massachusetts. They currently pay for them and their husband $1,688, which is already so expensive monthly. Now, $2,159. This person is in Oregon. She is now paying $613.93 a month, already a hefty sum. Without the premiums next year, $1,616.27 a month. This woman is in Bergen County, New Jersey. Right now, she pays $1,165.52 a month. Next year, $2,172.98. This is a single mom in Oregon, so she's currently paying $375 a month. Her premiums will go up to $614 a month. She is a single mom. This person is in California. Her premium is going to go up from $378 a month to $1,341 a month. Hey, this person writes, we are two adults in our early 60s, not old enough for Medicare. Husband is a small business owner, makes about $90,000 a year. Currently, they are paying $1,208 per month. Without the federal tax credit, their premium will increase to $3,743.72. Wow. That is a $30,426 a year increase. Lynn in Minnesota, currently paying $211 a month. He wrote, if the ACA isn't extended, the cost triples and I will join the ranks of the uninsured. No idea how I will continue to get my prescriptions, medicines that allow me to walk without pain. This is a person named Ember who lives in California. Her family was paying $427.55 a month. Without the tax credits, they will be paying $2,500 a month.
You get an idea of what's happening out there. I would do my own, but you know, I'm a small business person and I have to deduct all the stuff and come up with a net income, and that takes a lot of time. So I would give you my bill, but it's too long a process.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting quite a lot of texts here.
We'll
get to some of those.
Yeah, we'll get to those in just a moment. It's 19 minutes past the hour. Back with more of John and Gordy for this Wednesday morning. Mike McCabe coming up in about 15 minutes, Substack blogger and author. Keep it right here.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Here comes the helicopter. Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say. If I had a rocket launcher,
WNDX 92.7. John and Gordy in the morning. Dom at the controls. And what a great song. Mm-hmm. I love the drums.
Bruce Coburn.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrific. 7:23. Hey, you can win your dinner from WMDX and Sugar River Pizza. Just go to WMDXradio.com. We draw a winner every week. Then we toss out all the entries and start all over. You could be winning a $50 gift card to Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie to help celebrate that. Once again, they are Best of Madison Pizza. And congratulations to them again. Again, just go to WMDXradio.com. And by the way, sign up for the newsletter. It comes out every Thursday. Yeah. It's terrific. It's got all kinds of events going on and behind the scenes here at WMDX.
All right, we got a text from Gary saying, health premiums are insane. We need Medicare for all.
Yes.
I wish the Democrats, I mean, this is the now door the wide open.
Yep.
It's time to rush out and say, let's get it. Let's do it, along with getting the ACA tax credits renewed. Mm-hmm. At least for a year, you know, get something going here. If they have better plans, present them in the next year, and we'll see if we shouldn't renew the tax credits again for another 5 years. You
right.
know, until we get Medicare for all, because I just hate it that the politicians get health care and they're keeping it from us. That's it's just insulting. It really is. It's just outrageous.
Mm-hmm. And we got a text question. Who was the guy who stole the, who took the ballot drop box away? That was Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney.
Yeah.
And that happened in September of last year. And
he dressed up for it.
He had a hard hat on and he had a dolly. He just took it. He took it and put it in his, locked it in his office. And then a week later, after there was a big uproar and it was decided that that was illegal to do, they put it back.
Yes. That's right. Test the legality of all of that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we mentioned earlier on that Trump is refusing to renew the SNAP.
Yeah, the SNAP program.
Benefits.
Well, he said he was going to do it, and then they said, well, they'll do half of it for the month of November, and now they're backtracking again.
That's right. And this is the post that he had. SNAP benefits, which increased by billions and billions of dollars, many fold during crooked Joe Biden's disastrous term in office. Yeah. I'm going to skip the in parentheses. Will be given only when the radical left Democrats open up government, which they can easily do, not before. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President D.J. T. There you go. So that is not happening. So we've got kind of a Hunger Games thing going out there, and I want to play the dark left, okay?
This
is a representative of the dark left. We are all the dark left, and he's speaking for us in regards to the SNAP Hunger Games. Let's listen to cut one. Cut one.
Number one.
All right? Here we go. Let's see if we can get him first.
Yeah, turn him in there.
That's what the Republicans have been hoping for. They wanted him during No Kings, but 7 million people stayed peaceful. But now we're talking about over 40 million people, 40 million hungry people. And hunger isn't patient. You can't just figure it out next week. When you're hungry, survival kicks in. And honestly, I think that's the point. That's exactly what Trump and his circle want. Why else would they punish states who offer to use their own funds to temporarily feed people by saying that the federal government won't reimburse them? And to all you MAGA loyalists, remember, hunger doesn't give a fuck about party lines. And of the $93 billion in SNAP benefits in 2024, red states took in more than $51 billion of that money. And your red states are broke as fuck. They survive on federal money. So good luck when your governor has to feed millions without SNAP and the state doesn't get reimbursed. See, that's what they want. They want people desperate enough to steal food so they can turn around and point at the King House and say, yeah, see, Democrats caused this. But if you're going to blame Democrats, then you have to admit the Republicans are too weak to overcome the Democrats, all while controlling the House, the Senate, and the White House. And at the end of the day, it's a game of political chicken. Create the chaos, film the reaction, blame the victims. Then use it to justify more ICE and more police and more guard and more control. It's not chaos by accident. It's chaos by design. The No Kings protest was peaceful. The Hunger Games won't be. And that's exactly what they're hoping for.
And remember, I'm not the dark left. Together, we're the dark left. Please join us in stepping out of the dark and into the fight.
Oh, all right.
Okay, the dark left.
Good to hear from him. We'll try to get him on the show next week sometime.
Yeah, we're working on that. Yeah.
All right, I want to get to the comment from Zoran Mamdani.
Yes.
His speech last night, just the segment where he sends out a little message to Trump, and this is cut 25. Let's listen to Mom Donnie.
If anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power.
Yeah.
This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one.
Wow.
So, Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have four words for you. Turn the volume up.
Man, crowd just went wild. What a great message. Yeah. What a great message.
Soran Mamdani.
What a great candidate as well. That's the next generation right there. That is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We've got coming up in just a few moments, Mike McCabe will be in from Substack and give us what he has in his latest post.
Yep, and coming up next, it's the Midwest Food and Farm Report from Pam Yonke, fabulous farm babe and her crew. And we'll be back with more of John and Gordy on this Wednesday morning on WMDX. Stay right here.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy. We are Devo, along with Dom.
Dominic Lee, our producer, and taking your phone calls at 608-879-8255. You can always text us on the Civic Media app, free to download and free to use. Just go to the app and find WMDX, and you can also send us a voice note there. Weather for today, starting out with some clouds. It's pretty cloudy in downtown Madison along State Street here. Highs today around 56. We should be in for a good deal of sunshine along the way a little bit later. Time for us to welcome in Mike McCabe, as we do every Wednesday morning. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Good to have you here.
It's breezy out there.
Is it really?
And look what a sudden gust blew into your studio. Another cool guest.
That's right. Oh, well, there you go.
That's great.
Yeah. I know. Isn't
that theme song.
Happy anniversary, guys.
Thank you.
I heard the song on the way in. I don't know if I got that line quite right.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
To a T.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, we've been on the air here 2 years. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And happy to have you along for the ride for most of that.
It's been
fun. And Don
fun.
Put that thing together. You know, he came up with that line. People just blowing in through the door. Oh, boy.
So your latest Substack article is all about flipping the dream and talking about the cost of the American dream, which is home ownership for many people, or at least it used to
be. Well, that's the American dream. That's the cornerstone. Yeah. Owning your own home.
And a lot of us didn't have to worry about it, but boy, you know, this generation, millennials and Gen Z, definitely a problem for them.
Yeah.
And they're very active and they're strongly active. I think that we're going to see some kind of change and make sure this isn't happening anymore. We used to talk about capitalism as, you know, the savior to our country. We have been so focused on capitalism that we're forgetting about the people that capitalism has rejected or given a very difficult time to. And that's why we have the safety net programs to help the people who are victims of capitalism, or they call it late stage capitalism. It's been late stage for years, decades, you know.
And you start out your article this time around by saying, asked a shirt tail relative how he's doing, and he answered, living the dream. But his expression was not really, he didn't have his heart in that statement.
Yeah.
And I had to think about shirt tail relative. That was a phrase I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah. I don't know. Does anybody know what that means anymore?
Not a distant
relative. Yeah, kind of a distant relative, right?
Right?
Right.
Why is it associated with a shirt tail?
I have no idea.
Barely hanging on.
But that's the way we always described it where I come from.
Yeah. Well, we can't say living the dream anymore.
No. Dream is faded.
Yeah. It's really it's an article about the housing crisis and the dimensions of the debate that are sort of excluded.
Yeah.
That we're not talking about. And you know, it's so frustrating when we obsess all the time over what's being done to the country but we don't spend enough time talking about what needs to be done to fix the problems and to restore the American dream.
Yeah.
And it just occurred to me, nobody's talking about how these private equity firms and hedge funds and other real estate speculators are making home ownership impossible for many by going in and buying up housing and flipping those houses. Mm-hmm. It just drives up the prices more. Yeah. And they create sort of artificial upward pressure on prices because they go in and they outbid families that are trying to own their own home and then they flip it for an even higher price to extract some profit out of the whole deal. And that just continues to send home prices skyrocketing when people get priced out of the housing market by those increasing prices. They remain renters.
Right.
What does that do but have more people chasing available apartments, and that drives up rental costs too. And so it really is it's an upward spiral that is all about just profit taking. And that was what's so cool about what just happened in New York with Mamdani winning the mayor's office. And the Democratic Party establishment was trying to steer people away from him and was scared to death of him. But what he's talking about is people can't afford rent and they can't afford to own a home and let's create a more affordable New York. And he's cutting to the core of what's going on. And we do have an impoverished debate about housing. Mm, We're not talking about how the ultra rich are screwing over the average working family and taking a lot of profit, but it's causing housing to just be unaffordable Americans.
In Dane County,
absolutely.
I mean, over the last 15 years, I mean, it's just skyrocketed prices of housing and rentals.
One of the amazing statistics I ran into and I put in the article this week was that the average monthly house payment, if you've got a mortgage, the average monthly house payment in America just in just over a decade has tripled.
Yeah. Wow.
Man.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that just puts the American dream more and more out of reach for more and more families. And that's a crisis. And we're not even talking about those core underlying factors that are driving these prices upward and
maintaining the interest rates too, because the economy is maintaining these interest
and
rates.
And so, in spite of all the people in Democratic Party leadership, were saying don't vote for that guy, don't go with Mamdani. He excited the hell out of an awful lot of people, especially young people.
Right,
and it's those young families.
Yes,
it's the millennials and the Gen Z young families that are stressed to the breaking point.
Well, especially in New York.
Absolutely. Right. Especially in New York.
Yeah. And he's proposed government-run grocery stores, and people are just freaking out over that. It's actually not government-run so much as it's funded by the government, run by private interests, but it's not a commercial private interest. Like co-ops, essentially, is what they're all about. Mm-hmm. He says, well, we have co-ops. Anybody complaining about that?
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to bring food, at least affordable food, to the area in New York, which is a tough thing to do, plus drive down some of the prices of apartment ownership and home ownership as well.
And you know what? Not all of his ideas are going to work.
Right.
But
he has to have the legislature to approve a lot of these things in the state.
Even if they get approved, some of the ideas aren't going to work. But the thing is that with FDR during the Great Depression, he acted. Mm-hmm. He acted assertively. He came to the rescue of working families in this country. Some of his ideas didn't work, and he moved on to new ideas.
Yeah. Right.
He kept experimenting. He kept and some of the reforms ended up sinking deep roots and are still with us to this day. That's how amazingly successful those programs were. They've been enduring. But some of his ideas didn't work, and he discarded them, and he tried something new. And that's the kind of spirit we need in government, is when you've got serious problems, try to get to the root of those problems, act aggressively. If the idea doesn't work, discard it and try something else. That's what FDR always used to talk about. He says, if something doesn't work, I'll try something else. But we're going to keep at this until we lift this country out of the depression.
Yeah. Well, Matt just texted us. He said, I have a mortgage on a two-bedroom condo with garage for $1,000. And my girlfriend is in a two-bedroom apartment for $2,200 a month.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's outrageous. You know, you mentioned home ownership. These hedge funds are buying entire neighborhoods. As soon as a house goes up, they try to buy the house. Then the neighbor next door and all the other lots that surround that house own the neighborhood and then sell those homes at a tremendous profit, which raises the prices of those homes to the point where no one can afford them.
Absolutely.
Again.
Right. You know, I'll give a spoiler for my Substack article. I'm saying let's ban flipping.
Yes.
Let's just make it against the law for the private equity firms and the hedge funds and all these other speculators to come in and buy up all those properties and then profit from the resale.
Yeah.
And because that just makes housing more unaffordable for everybody. And housing should be for families to live in, not for private equity firms to profit off of. And you know, and so we should be having a debate in this country about banning the practice of flipping.
Yeah.
You can't go out and do that. And that would be one blow that could be struck for affordable housing in this country.
You know, I came across, we went to a Halloween party. People would never
I saw your costumes.
Never knew before. But we went to the people's home, and we were in the backyard, and we were having fun back there, and she said that she has sons and they're thinking about putting mini homes in their backyard.
Isn't it?
And I thought, wow, they're actually talking about mini homes in their backyard. It's now part of the discussion. Isn't that great?
A friend of mine is planning one right now.
Is
planning on going forward and building one.
Of course, the problem is running lines into that and sewage.
Yeah. Well, it's a complicated process. But people are doubling up. Whatever land people own, you know, let's
and having their up, but by having their family
exactly.
move in oh, on their property.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Creates tighter families.
Yep.
Well, kind of like in the old days when you had a mother-in-law's house or a father-in-law's
house. That's right. They're going back to that now.
Right.
That is fantastic, isn't
right.
it? So anyway, it's nice to know that it's part of the conversation, and Madison is doing pretty well getting that message out there. I think, you know, when you create these movements, people get on board or they don't. And if they get on board, boy, look out.
Yep.
That's change.
Yep.
Any other thoughts about last night's election other than in New York City? I mean, it looks like the Democrats did pretty well right across the board in California.
California redistricting. What do you think about that? I know you're against, you know, changing the rules like this. You know, we set our marker down saying no more redistricting problems, you know.
And 7 million people in California showed up to vote.
Oh, absolutely.
It's fighting back.
And it passed overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
And you know, I lost count of the number of interviews I saw last night with people who basically said, look, even a person who is on California's redistricting commission, a woman who actually serves on the commission and has spent years fighting to establish that redistricting commission so that there could be fair redistricting, she came out in favor of the referendum and said, look, we're in we're in bizarre times, unusual times. You've got what Texas did.
Yeah.
And this is a fight for the soul of our country, and we don't have any choice but to do this. That was striking to me when you've got somebody who's actually a redistricting commissioner who's committed to this idea of independent, nonpartisan redistricting. And she said, you know what, temporarily we got to do this because of what is being done to our country otherwise.
Yeah, got to fight back.
Yeah,
exactly. It is 7:48. We'll be back with more with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, on John and Gordy, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7. This is John and Gordy. Hopefully entertaining and keeping you alive and well.
Holding your hand.
Holding your hand through these
troubled times.
Troubled times, right. Exactly. Our guest this morning, Mike McCabe from Substack, and we want to get into the subject matter of new blood in the Democratic Party. And I was thinking to myself, you know, with Gen Z and with millennials now entering into the fray as far as the Democrats are concerned, and boy, do we need it. It's just the opposite on the other end of the spectrum, political spectrum, isn't it? It's they want to go back to some time that never damn well existed, and they want the old people in there. They love the old people in there.
Yeah, it's their debate is whether we should go back to the 1920s or the 1890s.
Exactly.
Which era was the true golden age of America? And so they have this spirited debate over whether the 20s or the 1890s are the way to go.
That's right.
But and yeah,
we have a generation like Melanie Stansbury out of New Mexico. She is fantastic. Yeah. The messages that she has given us, and I've played about 7 or 8 of them here on the program in the past. James Tallarico is a representative in Texas. He's running for the Senate.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
Which would be fantastic. Yeah. He's a pastor. Great. He is the John Fugelsang of religion for us in the Senate. If he wins that, I hope he will. And then, of course, we're talking about Mondani now. He's just a fantastic candidate. People are really energized by him. My sons were just energized by him way back when. I didn't even know who he was and thought, well, I don't care about the mayor of New York, you know, but it's a bigger movement than that.
Why are you not a commie? Why are you not a commie? Catherine said,
Why isn't he? He's not a commie.
Well, yeah, he's not a Marxist or a communist.
He's a democratic socialist.
But what's striking is he's not afraid to say I am a democratic socialist. Yes. He's not afraid to say what he is.
Exactly.
And a lot of people in the party establishment sort of fear that phraseology and want him to somehow renounce that kind of label, but he says this is what I am and this is what I believe, and I think voters, especially young voters, find that refreshing. They find it appealing. They were excited beyond words by his candidacy and went out and pounded the pavement for him. And I'm at a complete loss why the party wouldn't want somebody who excites voters that way in their ranks.
Right.
But they tried to chase him away. They tried to, or more importantly, they tried to chase voters away from supporting him. I did post on Substack an article about primarily about Mallory McMorrow from Michigan.
Yes.
And the party establishment in Michigan tried to chase her out of the U.S. Senate race there, and she has decided to defy them and go ahead and run anyway. If you haven't heard of Mallory McMorrow, like Tallarico, like so many of these others, she is a ball of fire and a tremendously promising young leader in the state of Michigan.
Well, I have a cut.
And the party was kind of trying to steer people away from her too.
Why don't we play this this cut with McMorrow? Give you an idea of what she sounds like. This is a cut 26. All right, let's listen to it. Just a brief part.
Today, we are on the verge of the single largest redistribution of wealth from poor and working class Michiganders to the rich in our nation's history. That's what we're staring down in this so-called big, beautiful bill. If you earn more than $715,800, congratulations, you will get a tax cut of over $50,000. That tax cut alone is significantly higher than the $39,500 that the average Michigander earns in an entire year. Are you a foreign investor? Congratulations. Collectively, you will all get $23 billion in tax cuts next year alone. Are you in a position to leave more than $7 million to your heirs? Congratulations. You will get a cut to the estate tax. But how does this bill pay for all of this? By cutting the services that you rely on. This big bad bill cuts more than $200 billion from food assistance, potentially affecting 4 million children and 7 million adults nationwide.
I think we got a good idea. I mean, she knows how to relate to the voters out there and making sure that they know who's getting the benefits and who ain't.
Yeah. And she's speaking to pocketbook issues that affect every working family in the state of Michigan and across America. And I'm at a complete loss why there would be any party leader who wouldn't want that voice out there championing the party's future. You know, that it's just mind-boggling.
And she has a very strong speaking style as well.
Yeah, and she's young, and I just think you got to make way for the younger generation of leaders in this country. And if we've talked before about how our political leadership is geriatric.
Yes.
You know, to put it mildly, on both sides, we've got just these old fossils that are holding desperately onto power. And you know, there's this energy that comes with that youth movement. But I think more importantly, they are so connected to the struggles that so many people are going through as they try to make their way in this economy.
Well, you know, it's a gig economy now. Yeah. It's completely changed, and they're not even working.
Yeah.
And their jobs are, on the line constantly because of AI now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to leave it there. Mike McCabe, always good to talk to you every Wednesday. You can check out Mike's Substack blog and check out his book, too, Miracles Along County Q. Great to see you again, Mike.
Good to see you guys.
All right. Tomorrow on the show, we'll be talking with Tim Slecker, Educated Educators talking about education.
You got it finally.
Jeez, only took a year. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will also be with us. We hope you'll join us at that time, too. Bright and early, 6:06 in the morning. Have a great day. Stephanie Miller's next. So long.
See you later.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.